This is the reading for April 26th. Psalm 116. I love the Lord because He listens to my prayers for help. He paid attention to me, so I will call to Him for help as long as I live. The ropes of death bound me, and the fear of the grave took hold of me. I was troubled and sad. Then I called out the name of the Lord. I said, "Please, Lord, save me." The Lord is kind and does what is right. Our God is merciful. The Lord watches over the foolish. When I was helpless, He saved me. I said to myself, "Relax, because the Lord takes care of you." Lord, you saved me from death. You stopped my eyes from crying. You kept me from being defeated. So I will walk with the Lord in the land of the living. I believed, so I said, "I am completely ruined." In my distress, I said, "All people are liars." What can I give the Lord for all the good things He has given to me? I will lift up the cup of salvation, and I will pray to the Lord. I will give the Lord what I promised in front of all His people. The death of one that belongs to the Lord is precious in His sight. Lord, I am your servant. I am your servant and the son of your female servant. You have freed me from my chains. I will give you an offering to show thanks to you, and I will pray to the Lord. I will give the Lord what I promised in front of all His people, in the temple courtyards in Jerusalem. Praise the Lord. Judges chapter 19. At that time, Israel did not have a king. There was a Levite who lived in the faraway mountains of Ephraim. He had taken a slave woman from the city of Bethlehem in the land of Judah to live with him. But she was unfaithful to him. She left him and went back to her father's house in Bethlehem in Judah and stayed there for 4 months. Then her husband went to ask her to come back to him, taking with him his servant and 2 donkeys. When the Levite came to her father's house, she invited him to come in, and her father was happy to see him. The father-in-law, the young woman's father, asked him to stay. So he stayed for 3 days and ate, drank, and slept there. On the 4th day, they got up early in the morning. The Levite was getting ready to leave, but the woman's father said to his son-in-law, "Refresh yourself by eating something, then go." So the 2 men sat down to eat and drink together. After that, the father said to him, "Please stay tonight. Relax and enjoy yourself." When the man got up to go, his father-in-law asked him to stay. So he stayed again that night. On the 5th day, the man got up early in the morning to leave. The woman's father said, "Refresh yourself. Wait until this afternoon." So the 2 men ate together. When the Levite, his slave woman, and his servant got up to leave, the father-in-law, the young woman's father, said, "It's almost night. The day is almost gone. Spend the night here and enjoy yourself. Tomorrow morning you can get up early and go home." But the Levite did not want to stay another night, so he took his 2 saddle donkeys and his slave woman and traveled toward the city of Jebus, also called Jerusalem. As the day was almost over, they came near Jebus, so the servant said to his master, "Let's stop at the city of the Jebusites and spend the night here." But his master said, "No, we won't go inside a foreign city. Those people are not Israelites. We will go on to the city of Gibeah." He said, "Come on, let's try to make it to Gibeah or Ramah so we can spend the night in one of those cities." So they went on. The sun went down as they came near Gibeah, which belongs to the tribe of Benjamin. They stopped there to spend the night. They came to the public square of the city and sat down, but no one invited them home to spend the night. Finally, in the evening, an old man came in from his work in the fields. His home was in the mountains of Ephraim, but now he was living in Gibeah. The people of Gibeah were from the tribe of Benjamin. He saw the traveler in the public square and asked, "Where are you going? Where did you come from?" The Levite answered, "We are traveling from Bethlehem in Judah to my home in the mountains of Ephraim. I have been to Bethlehem in Judah, but now I am going to the holy tent of the Lord. No one has invited me to stay in his house. We already have straw and food for our donkeys and bread and wine for me, the young woman, and my servant. We don't need anything." The old man said, "You are welcome to stay at my house. Let me give you anything you need, but don't spend the night in the public square." So the old man took the Levite into his house, and he fed their donkeys. They washed their feet and had something to eat and drink. While they were enjoying themselves, some wicked men of the city surrounded the house and beat on the door. They shouted to the old man who owned the house, "Bring out the man who came to your house. We want to have sexual relations with him." The owner of the house went outside and said to them, "No, my friends, don't be so evil. This man is a guest in my house. Don't do this terrible thing. Look, here are my daughter who has never had sexual relations before, and the man's slave woman. I will bring them out to you now. Do anything you want with them, but don't do such a terrible thing to this man." But the men would not listen to him, so the Levite took his slave woman and sent her outside to them. They forced her to have sexual relations with them, and they abused her all night long. Then at dawn they let her go. She came back to the house where her master was staying and fell down at the door and lay there until daylight. In the morning, when the Levite got up, he opened the door of the house and went outside to go on his way. But his slave woman was lying at the doorway of the house with her hands on the door sill. The Levite said to her, "Get up, let's go." But she did not answer. So he put her on his donkey and went home. When the Levite got home, he took a knife and cut his slave woman into 12 parts, limb by limb. Then he sent a part to each area of Israel. Everyone who saw this said, "Nothing like this has ever happened before, not since the people of Israel came out of Egypt. Think about it. Tell us what to do." Judges chapter 20. So all the Israelites from Dan to Beersheba, including the land of Gilead, joined together before the Lord in the city of Mizpah. The leaders of all the tribes of Israel took their places in the meeting of the people of God. There were 400,000 soldiers with swords. The people of Benjamin heard that the Israelites had gone up to Mizpah. Then the Israelites said to the Levite, "Tell us how this evil thing happened." So the husband of the murdered woman answered, "My slave woman and I came to Gibeah in Benjamin to spend the night. During the night, the men of Gibeah came after me. They surrounded the house and wanted to kill me. They forced my slave woman to have sexual relations, and she died. I took her and cut her into parts and sent one part to each area of Israel, because the people of Benjamin did this wicked and terrible thing in Israel. Now, all you Israelites, speak up. What is your decision?" Then all the people stood up at the same time, saying, "None of us will go home. Not one of us will go back to his house. Now this is what we will do to Gibeah. We will throw lots. That way we will choose 10 men from every 100 men from all the tribes of Israel, and we will choose 100 men from every 1,000 and 1,000 men from every 10,000. These will go find supplies for the army. Then the army will go to the city of Gibeah of Benjamin to repay them for the terrible thing they have done in Israel." So all the men of Israel were united and gathered against the city. The tribes of Israel sent men throughout the tribe of Benjamin demanding, "What is this evil thing some of your men have done? Hand over the wicked men in Gibeah so that we can put them to death. We must remove this evil from Israel." But the Benjamites would not listen to their fellow Israelites. The Benjamites left their own cities and met at Gibeah to fight the Israelites. In only one day, the Benjamites got 26,000 soldiers together who were trained with swords. They also had 700 chosen men from Gibeah. 700 of these trained soldiers were left-handed, each of whom could sling a stone at a hare and not miss. The Israelites, except for the Benjamites, gathered 400,000 soldiers with swords. The Israelites went up to the city of Bethel and asked God, "Which tribe shall be first to attack the Benjamites?" The Lord answered, "Judah shall go first." The next morning the Israelites got up and made camp near Gibeah. The men of Israel went out to fight the Benjamites and took their battle position at Gibeah. Then the Benjamites came out of Gibeah and killed 22,000 Israelites during the battle that day. The Israelites went before the Lord and cried until evening. They asked the Lord, "Shall we go to fight our relatives, the Benjamites, again?" The Lord answered, "Go up and fight them." The men of Israel encouraged each other, so they took the same battle positions they had taken the first day. The Israelites came to fight the Benjamites the second day. The Benjamites came out of Gibeah to attack the Israelites. This time, the Benjamites killed 18,000 Israelites, all of whom carried swords. Then the Israelites went up to Bethel. There they sat down and cried to the Lord and went without food all day until evening. They also brought burnt offerings and fellowship offerings to the Lord. The Israelites asked the Lord a question. In those days, the Ark of the Agreement with God was there at Bethel. A priest named Phinehas, son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, served before the Ark of the Agreement. They asked, "Shall we go to fight our relatives, the Benjamites, again? Or shall we stop fighting?" The Lord answered, "Go, because tomorrow I will hand them over to you." Then the Israelites set up ambushes all around Gibeah. They went to fight against the Benjamites at Gibeah on the third day, getting into position for battle as they had done before. When the Benjamites came out to fight them, the Israelites backed up and led the Benjamites away from the city. The Benjamites began to kill some of the Israelites as they had done before. About 30 Israelites were killed, some in the fields and some on the roads leading to Bethel and to Gibeah. The Benjaminites said, "We are winning as before," but the Israelites said, "Let's run, let's trick them into going farther away from their city and onto the roads." All the Israelites moved from their places and got into battle positions at a place named Baal Tamar. Then the Israelites ran out from their hiding places west of Gibeah. 10,000 of the best trained soldiers from all of Israel attacked Gibeah. The battle was very hard. The Benjaminites did not know disaster was about to come to them. The Lord used the Israelites to defeat the Benjaminites. On that day, the Israelites killed 25,100 Benjaminites, all armed with swords. Then the Benjaminites saw that they were defeated. The Israelites have moved back because they were depending on the surprise attack they had set up near Gibeah. The men in hiding rushed into Gibeah, spread out, and killed everyone in the city with their swords. Now the Israelites had set up a signal with the men in hiding. The men in the surprise attack were to send up a cloud of smoke from the city. Then the army of Israel turned around in the battle. The Benjaminites had killed about 30 Israelites. They were saying, "We are winning as in the first battle." But then a cloud of smoke began to rise from the city. The Benjaminites turned around and saw that the whole city was going up in smoke. Then the Israelites turned and began to fight. The Benjaminites were terrified because they knew that disaster was coming to them. So the Benjaminites ran away from the Israelites toward the desert, but they could not escape the battle. And the Israelites who came out of the cities killed them. They surrounded the Benjaminites and chased them and caught them in the area east of Gibeah. So 18,000 brave Benjaminite fighters were killed. The Benjaminites ran toward the desert to the rock of Ramon, but the Israelites killed 5,000 Benjaminites along the roads. They chased them as far as Gedom and killed 2,000 more Benjaminites there. On that day, 25,000 Benjaminites were killed, all of whom had fought bravely with swords. But 600 Benjaminites ran to the rock of Ramon in the desert, where they stayed for 4 months. Then the Israelites went back to the land of Benjamin and killed the people in every city and also the animals and everything they could find, and they burned every city they found.
Chapter 19.
Jesus was passing through Jericho. A man named Zacchaeus was there. He was the director of tax collectors, and he was rich. He tried to see who Jesus was, but Zacchaeus was a small man, and he couldn't see Jesus because of the crowd. So Zacchaeus ran ahead and climbed a fig tree to see Jesus, who was coming that way. When Jesus came to the tree, he looked up and said, "Zacchaeus, come down. I must stay at your house today." Zacchaeus came down and was glad to welcome Jesus into his home, but the people who saw this began to express disapproval. They said, "He went to be the guest of a sinner." Later at dinner, Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Lord, I'll give half of my property to the poor. I'll pay 4 times as much as I owe to those I have cheated in any way." Then Jesus said to Zacchaeus, "You and your family have been saved today. You've shown that you too are one of Abraham's descendants. Indeed, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save people who are lost." Jesus was getting closer to Jerusalem, and the people thought that the kingdom of God would appear suddenly. While Jesus had the people's attention, he used this illustration. He said, "A prince went to a distant country to be appointed king, and then he returned. Before he left, he called 10 of his servants and gave them 10 coins. He said to his servants, 'Invest this money until I come back.' The citizens of his own country hated him. They sent representatives to follow him and say to the person who was going to appoint him, 'We don't want this man to be our king.' After he was appointed king, he came back. Then he said, 'Call those servants to whom I gave money. I want to know how much each one has made by investing.' The first servant said, 'Sir, the coin you gave me has earned 10 times as much.' The king said to him, 'Good job. You're a good servant. You proved that you could be trusted with a little money. Take charge of 10 cities. The second servant said, "The coin you gave me, sir, has made 5 times as much." The king said to this servant, "You take charge of 5 cities. Then the other servant said, "Sir, look, here's your coin. I've kept it in a cloth for safekeeping because I was afraid of you. You're a tough person to get along with. You take what isn't yours and harvest grain you haven't planted." The king said to him, "I'll judge you by what you've said, you evil servant. You knew that I was a tough person to get along with. You knew that I take what isn't mine and harvest grain I haven't planted. Then why didn't you put my money in the bank? When I came back, I could have collected it with interest." The king told his men, "Take his coin away and give it to the man who has 10. They replied, "Sir, he already has 10 coins. "I can guarantee that everyone who has something will be given more, but everything will be taken away from those who don't have much. Bring my enemies who didn't want me to be their king. Kill them in front of me." After Jesus had given this illustration, he continued on his way to Jerusalem. When he came near Bethphage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, as it was called, Jesus sent two of his disciples ahead of him. He said to them, "Go into the village ahead of you. As you enter, you will find a young donkey tied there. No one has ever sat on it. Untie it and bring it. If anyone asks you why you are untying it, say that the Lord needs it." The men Jesus sent found it as he had told them. While they were untying the young donkey, its owners asked them, "Why are you untying the donkey?" The disciples answered, "The Lord needs it." They brought the donkey to Jesus, put their coats on it, and helped Jesus onto it. As he was riding along, people spread their coats on the road. By this time, he was coming near the place where the road went down the Mount of Olives. Then the whole crowd of disciples began to praise God for all the miracles they had seen. They shouted joyfully, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest heaven." Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, tell your disciples to be quiet." Jesus replied, "I can guarantee that if they are quiet, the stones will cry out." When he came closer and saw the city, he began to cry. He said, "If you had only known today what would bring you peace, but now it is hidden so you cannot see it. The time will come when enemy armies will build a wall to surround you and close you in on every side. They will level you to the ground and kill your people. One stone will not be left on top of another because you didn't recognize the time when God came to help you." Jesus went into the temple courtyard and began to throw out those who were selling things there. He said to them, "Scripture says, 'My house will be a house of prayer,' but you have turned it into a gathering place for thieves." Jesus taught in the temple courtyard every day. The chief priests, the scribes, and the leaders of the people looked for a way to kill him, but they could not find a way to do it because all the people were eager to hear him.